We're continuing our study in 1 Timothy tonight. I've got, three or four verses I want to get through, but I don't know if we're going to get through them because I've got some things that we're going to go sidelined on here a little bit. I want to back up a little bit from last week. But 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unformed." Now, the end of the commandment is charity. You know, Paul is not talking here about the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about the other 463 Mosaic commands. Paul was talking about what he had just told Timothy in the previous verses. We talked about them last week in a little bit, and we're going to be looking at them a little bit again tonight. But in verse 3, Paul said, "I charge you." The word charge comes from the Greek word parakilno, which means, or is translated in other places, of the command. Now, Paul is saying in verse 3, I want you to realize I'm commanding you to do something. Now, he says, I want you to, if you go back to verse 3, it says, "And I beseech thee to abide in Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some, and that they teach no other doctrine." He says, I want you to make sure that they're not teaching any other doctrine. What doctrine was Paul teaching at that time? Grace. Christ buried, or Christ died, Christ buried, Christ rose again the third day according to the Scripture. He says, I don't want them teaching any other doctrine other than that. Now, he goes on in verse 4, and this is where we're going to stop for just a little bit tonight. But it says, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 for just a minute. In verse 7, it says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fable, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Now, what Paul was telling Timothy here is that he says, I want you to be careful about what is being taught. He says, I want you to be careful what you're listening to, because there's going to be a lot of false doctrine. There's going to be a lot of false teaching that's going to come into the early church. You know, I wonder if they had internet back then. You know, you take and you think about the internet, okay? Now, what kind of false doctrine can we get off the internet? Yeah. We had it today, believe it or not, in school. I had one of the students and come up to me and ask me a question about something. And I said, I've never heard that in my life. And what it was a fable or a... mythical. It was mythical from the Jewish religion way back in the early times. Yeah, back in the times of Moses. And what's happening is this. This stuff is starting to creep up now. Why? Because of the internet. It was creeping up in Paul's time, in Timothy's time, and Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to be careful that you don't listen to a lot of garbage. Amen? I guess that's the easiest way of saying it. He says, I want you to understand that you need to know the Word of God and you need to stick with it. Now, if we need to understand that in that daytime, or in that day, the period of time that was in, we see that there was a lot of things that were trying to come into the newfound church. There was a lot of doctrines and things that were trying to be changed. And Paul says, I don't want this to happen. I don't want you listening to wise tales, things that happened before or were tradition. You know, what traditions would have came into the old New Testament church? Okay. Okay, status, what else? What else would have creeped in to the new found church that would have been traditions? Circumcision, that's one. Yeah, exactly. You know, religious habits. Listen, there was a lot of things that the Jews were trying to get in to the new found church as doctrine. And they weren't. They were wives' tales. They were just tradition. They were just things that people did all the time. And then we went into endless genealogies last week about how that there was roles kept of people. But then he goes on to say the end of the command is charity. The word charity comes from the Greek word agape, which is translated in many places in the Bible, love, and it means affection unabiding love, or that great abiding love. 106 times in the New Testament, the word agape is used. John 15:13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, charity is the greatest commandment, he says. Without it, we could not have the love of Christ. Romans 5:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Romans 5:39 goes on to say, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What we need to realize is that this great love that God has for us. After all, look at John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, the word charity is the same word as that word love. Now, let's take a look here, and I'm just going to take a little sideline for a minute. If you take a look at Jesus, when Jesus was after his death, burial, and resurrection, Peter says, I go fishing. The rest of the disciples said, we'll go with you. They went out and they fished all night and they caught nothing. They caught nothing. And John says to Peter, he says, oh, hey, there's the Lord over on the shore. Peter put his clothes back on, jumped in, swam to shore, and there was Jesus with a fire and he was cooking fish. Where did he get the fish? He'd been fishing too. But they didn't catch anything. He did. Now, we need to take and realize what happened after that. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? Jesus said to Peter, he says, Peter, do you agape, is the word that was used. Do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? And Peter looked at him and he says, Lord, I love you. But Peter did not use the word agape. He used the word phileo. The word phileo means likeness. He's saying, Lord, I like you. Jesus said the second time, Peter, do you love me? Using the word agape. Do you love me unconditionally? Peter looked at him, he says, Lord, you know I phileo you. You know I like you a lot. Jesus looked at him and he said, Peter, do you just phileo me? Do you just love me a little bit? Peter was grieved in the spirit. And he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I agape you. And I believe it was at that time period right there that Peter had a life-changing experience. You know, what we need to realize is that charity and love run hand in hand. And we need to understand that Paul is telling young Timothy, he says, I want you to understand the greatest commandment that there is love. He says, and I want you to realize that you need to love out of a pure heart. I want you to realize that you need to have charity or love out of a pure heart. The word pure means clean or clear. You know, we are to have a love out of a pure or clean heart. A heart which is not clouded by the things of this world. A heart which is clean from all man's doctrine. And all man's practices. And all man's sin. We need to have a pure heart separated from all of that. And of a good conscience. A conscience free from hypocrisy. A conscience which is right with the Lord. Colossians 2:8 says this, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the remnants of the world, and not after Christ. What does the world want us to believe? The world wants us to believe that we are good, doesn't it? That we are all good enough to get ourselves to heaven. We don't need any outside force to get us to heaven, because after all, we are all religious, aren't we? You know, we go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, we are really religious, amen? And that's what the world wants us to believe. But that's not the way it is. He goes on to say, faith unformed. We need to look at what faith is for just a minute. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans 4:5 says, but him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Faith is something that we cannot see, touch, smell, or handle. It's something that we have to believe in. You know, faith is something that each and every one of us have to believe in. How much faith do you have? Well, you know what? I got to think about this when I was doing this study, and I thought to myself, you know, I have a lot of faith. Do you know that I have faith that George Washington was the first president? I have faith that he was the first president. How many of you believe he was the first president? Okay. You know, we have faith. Were you here then? Were you on earth then? You never saw him. You know, we have to have faith that he was really was the first president. I believe that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president. I wasn't here then. However, through faith, I believe he was our 16th president. It's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have faith that he died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. We have to have that faith. If you don't have that faith, you can't be saved. Your faith is no good. What we need to realize is that we need to have faith in order to be saved. Salvation is by grace through what? Faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. You know, what we need to realize is that salvation itself is by faith. It's not by works. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You know, listen, if we could get ourselves to heaven, how could we do it? Just through faith. That's it. Just through faith. You know, think about this for just a minute. The Megabucks lottery is $600 million. It'll be over $700 million when the drawing's done. $700 million. Do you think you could take that money up to God and say, I won the lottery, you got to let me in heaven? I don't think so. Think of Bill Gates. Think of Warren Buffett. Think of all these billionaires. You know, I can see them standing at heaven's gate with these mounds of money, and they say to God, you got to let me in your heaven. Look at, I'm going to buy my way in. God says, no. I got to think about that one day, and I thought, you know, here's Warren Buffett. He's up there, and he's got this great big chest full of gold. And he walks up to heaven, and he opens up the top of it, and he looks at God, and he says, I've got all this gold for you. You can have it if you let me into heaven. And God looks at him, and he says, what'd you bring pavement up here for? Amen? You know, let's face it. What is material things to God? Nothing. Why? Because he created them all. You know, if he wants gold, he'll just go create it. If he wants money, he'll go create it. If he wants anything he wants, he'll create it. You know, man in our infinite wisdom feels that we can get to heaven on our own merit when it's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can get to heaven. The word unformed in this verse means not counterfeit, not hypocritical, real, sincere. We need to have true faith. We need to have true love. You know, we need to love everybody. You know, I always think of that we need to love everybody. You know, so many times, especially in the day and age we live in today, there is so much hate, it's unbelievable. You know, if we would have as much love as we do hate in this world, we'd have a whole lot better world. Amen? You know, we're to take and love our enemies. Well, let's face it. Most Americans aren't my enemies. Amen? You know, they're my friends. We're to love our friends. You know, what we need to realize is that too many times, people, I believe, get the cart before the horse. And they feel that they can take and they can go down the road with the horse behind them and they'll pull a cart. What happens when that horse puts on the brakes? There they sit. And that's what's happened to a lot of people today. They do not have the love that they need. I wanted to get a whole lot farther than this tonight, but this is about where we're going to get. So I got something else we need to do yet today. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. I just pray, Lord, that you might help us to have the love that we need. Father, we so many times we don't have the love we need. And Father, I just pray that we would search the Scripture and that we'd know exactly what we need for tomorrow. Father, I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us, and we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Victor, why don't you and your wife come on up here?